Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Happy opening day, Patrick Royce, Royce Unchained, presented by Josh Arnold, investment consultant, Mr. Money Talk. We will talk some baseball, and we will get to NFL rules that are confusing you and other people now with the new kickoff. But are you excited for quarterback pro day week here? J.J. McCarthy late last week over the weekend, Jaden Daniels yesterday, and today is Drake May's pro day in North Carolina.
In North Carolina, and we our guy McCowan has been invited to guide him through the, is that what I saw?
I know he's going to be there. Is he going to help guide the workout?
He was going to help guide the workout.
Everybody's go.
Yeah, well, we must think we can get him, huh? Hey, they must, they got McCowan in here, they must figure they throw in another couple of number ones for the future years and they can get the three, maybe. I don't know. Maybe that would be something. Then it would be, but the Commanders are, the insiders are telling us they're going with the LSU guy.
Well, that's what some of the buzz is. We also saw our guy Tom Pelissero report on like Friday last week or over the weekend that everyone he's talking to at the NFL league meetings is saying, like, people outside the Commanders are saying that they think the Commanders are going to take J.J. McCarthy number two.
No, so,
I mean, it's a smoke screen. You know, we trust Tommy Pelissero's reporting.
Well, that'd be great if they took them, if they took him, because then you'd end up with one or the other. Then you, if you get either Daniels or May, you're happier than clams, right? You can have McCarthy. He's fine, but I don't put him in the same class as the other three guys. But you know, this, I'm not a guy watching film either. So I'm not down film. I'm just telling you, he got to play with one of the greatest defenses of all time. And I've seen him. He was good. Sometimes he was bad. So, and he ended up looking
better. That's your assessment?
He ended up looking better than Penix because Penix was going to get killed and he wasn't. So that's one of the differences. You know?
We should do a weekly film breakdown on YouTube where Royce guides us with the laser pen.
The Royce scouting report. He was good and then sometimes he was bad. So so you do what you want.
Yeah, that's good. He's, Kirk. Yeah, I could have done the cook down and break. What are you doing? Throw the ball, you jackass.
Come on, guy.
What are you sitting in the pocket for? Move around a little, you stiff. Oh, but it's, it's really tough for us longtime Viking critics to have to absorb the fact that they are being so smart this offseason. That they're geniuses.
Wow.
I'm really having a hard time digesting the fact that there's no cheap shots to take at the Vikings. They've made my life taking cheap shots at the Vikings, and there's nothing to rip them about right now. They're just, they're doing everything right. They got rid of that overrated $50 million quarterback, and that gives them incredible options here. They didn't even have to give up that much to get the other number one draft choice. So
what praise, too, Pat. Like when's the last time that you felt the Vikings were had a shield of armor around them from a Royce cheap shot?
Yeah, it's depressing. Actually, it's really. I get up in the morning and say, "What can I rip them about?" And there's nothing.
Wow.
And you don't have Spielman, Mr. Triple Speak. Now they don't tell you anything, and neither do these guys. But Kwesi's BS, in which he says nothing, is less offensive to me than Spielman's, who had the big press conference and called everybody out and then said, "We've been getting a lot of calls."
So many calls.
We've been getting a lot of calls, and we're either going to go up or we're going to go down. And everybody runs out there with their cameras breathless to hear his complete bullcrap, which is saying nothing. And, I'm not nearly as offended by, Kwesi's not saying anything. Now, Kwesi, came into the job and thought he was going to, maybe be a little more forthcoming. And then the first time he talked, he got embarrassed by what he said. And he hasn't spoken since, really. So,
yeah, it's been about 2 years almost since the USA Today sit down.
Yes.
Fortunately.
Yes. So, they're sitting pretty now just by getting out from under $50 million. That's all it took, right?
Do you think
they got to get Jefferson signed here pretty soon, right?
Yeah, and at this point, he's probably just going to wait a month to just let's see what happens in the draft. So do you think, because they made it seem like, especially Kevin O'Connell, we want Kirk back. We want him back. That's our plan. Yeah, we want him back, right? As you look back at this, do you think their plan A was to just break up with him in as amicable way as possible?
That is exactly right. They know that he had a certain amount of their audience and that, everything is, how can you get rid of a guy like this and have everybody say, boy, they really wanted him back? I think it's complete BS that they want him back. I think this is plan A, absolutely, to a T, but they didn't want Kirk to, they didn't want to make it sound like they drove him out. They wanted him to still, they want to come back and put him in their wall of fame someday or something. And they wanted to get along with him because, there's a lot of right-wing Republicans that buy season tickets from the Vikings. So they didn't want them to be mad at, there's a lot of anti-vaxxers going to those games. So they wanted to stay chummy with Kirk. So
Royce, six relievers, as you said, before we started, start the season on the IL, including what? Duran, Stamott now, left calf strain, Thielbar, Topa, Weiss.
And, it's Weiss and...
Winder.
Stamott,
and Winder,
that's
right.
Yeah, he's been out of the picture here for... Did he pitch all spring? I don't think he pitched all spring.
No, he's a 60-dayer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. He's another one. I was reading LaBelle today, and sometimes you wonder if he's hurrying to get someplace or something, but how could you tell me how their bullpen is going to be improved? I don't get it. I mean, what's this idea that you pick up Jay Jackson, who's never been on an opening day roster in his life, and he's like 32 or something, and they pick up all these guys that have been floating around forever, and we're supposed to believe that this is an improved bullpen? What are they talking about? I mean, Funderburk, I like him. Nice kid. I talked to him, and he was okay when he was up last year. But he did everything he could not to make the team this spring. He was terrible. And then, until maybe the last couple of times out. But they end up having to keep him, right, because they don't have any other left-handers. And then this Okert he's just another lefty who's floating around. And the idea that all these journeymen and they've got an improved bullpen, I just don't get it. And the other thing that would worry me is you got to remember Brock Stewart all of a sudden was throwing harder than he ever threw in his life. But then he missed 6 weeks, right? And now you got to have him be your closer, right? So how long can he go back to throwing harder than he's ever thrown in his life and make it to the finish line? I don't know if that's
possible. I think for me, it's more about just the way the injuries have shuffled things. If everyone's healthy, I like Justin Topa, if he's healthy.
Yeah.
I think he's probably good. Obviously Duran's one of the best closers, but
yes,
health is a question. If you get Varland in that bullpen at some point,
yes,
you know, but now because of injuries and lack of the, you know, lack of budget. So it's to me, it's more about injuries and just the way the depth shakes out. Yes, I like some of these arms.
I'm not saying it's a worse bullpen, but I'm not saying that you can have a parade and saying it's a much better bullpen. We haven't seen any of these guys. How do we know? Now, Topa's numbers, you know, he kicked around forever, and then he all of a sudden was really good. And as you guys know, relievers are there's about 10 of them that are great all the time, and yeah, the rest of them are, they're goaltenders. They're like goaltenders. Some years they're good, some years they're not. So
wasn't there a year where Dennis Reyes gave up like one run in four months or something?
The big sweat was unhittable. You know, my favorite ever was Jose Maharis. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
Jose was unhittable.
Yeah.
Then he showed up the next year. I remember you guys might have been down there. You might have been down there, Phil. He's warming up. He's warming up in the bullpen. And I said, I feel like I'm looking at myself in the mirror when he's going down there. I mean, left-handed, and like all of a sudden he ate Puerto Rico or wherever the hell he was from. And I don't know. They're just an untrustworthy species. relievers is what I'm saying. So,
yeah.
You know, and to their credit, they've given themselves a whole lot of options, but they're all 30-year-old journeyman options. So they really need, and we talked about it yesterday, though, they really need that starter, and they didn't get it, and they didn't do it. They screwed up, and now Louis can't help them in the bullpen. And
they need like a Simeon Woods Richardson to pop up to, or later in the year, a Cantor. They need somebody to come up internally too at some point.
Yeah, they needed Canarino bad, and then he gets hurt again. I don't know what he must got to get up every, I mean, I like the guy. I had a nice long talk with him. He's a good kid, but he's not a kid anymore. He's 26 now, I think. And you know, he's pitched 81 innings or something in the minor leagues in at age 26, but he must get up every day and say, What hurts now? I don't know. You know, stop looking for injuries, you know, just try to pitch. But I feel bad about him because he could be, he's probably broken down so often they can't make him a starter anymore, but he was the guy that wanted to be a starter. You know, he was going to be a starter. And that's, you know, now those guys are so hard to find. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
What's your guess on Buxton games played, Pat?
You know how, I don't know. If he plays 100 in center field, we should have a parade. You know, I think.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Downtown or like a, you know, 394? Like what type of parade are we talking about?
I got to give him credit. He's trying to be as optimistic as he possibly can. And he's, you know, I tell you, he did to me. He lost 10 or 12 pounds of that muscle that he tried to put on himself to make him bigger and stronger and kind of change him. And he's trying to put less pressure on that. But can he really? And everybody talks about running into walls, and that was never really the problem. I mean, he did that once or twice, maybe, that they caused his injuries. But, you know, it's diving and stuff like that. And but if he can't go in the gap and dive and make a great catch, then he's not Buxton, right? Then you're having, you know what else is interesting? They really, Willie Castro is and Kyle Farber are the only two bench players, right? They're only really two guys. I mean, Willie Castro's got to be your backup infielder and outfielder here. They're a little thin in the backup department. I wonder, it's interesting today, the Kansas City starter's a young, hard-throwing left-hander, 6'4".
Cole Reagans.
Yeah, he had a good second half of the season for a horrible team. Is Julian going to play? Probably not. Huh?
Probably not.
Going to play Kyle Farmer. You know, right off the bat, they probably don't want to give Julian a nasty lefty, who's, you know, to get going. But yeah, I mean,
we have breaking news. I have to cut in. Did you guys see this email that just came from the Timberwolves?
No.
No.
This just came across right now from the Timberwolves. A statement on the ownership situation. Glenn Taylor confirms this morning the expiration of the option on Mark Laurie and Alex Rodriguez to acquire controlling interest of the Wolves and the Lynx. Under terms of the purchase agreement, the closing was required to occur within 90 days following the exercise notice by Laurie and Rodriguez. It expired yesterday, March 27, 2024. This is the quote from Glenn. I will continue to work with Mark, Alex, and the rest of the ownership group to ensure our teams have the necessary resources to compete at the highest levels. The Timberwolves and Lynx are no longer for sale.
Mm. So what's that mean? I don't know what
they're
that
off
means.
The market. He's keeping them.
Glenn Taylor just took the Timberwolves off the market.
Well, wait, no. A-Rod and Laurie, he says I'm going to continue to work with them. What's that though?
They're minority owners. Right. I mean, they've been, you know, so
they have the $400 million invested.
Yeah. They made two investments.
Well, I got an hour and 37 minutes of tape recordings with Glenn from last month, and I'm going to have to update that now. So I was supposed to do. But he was talking about, you know, when I had that long, long talk with him, that the NBA was getting upset here that they were taking them so long, right?
Right.
That it was taking them so long.
Right.
And he basically, the closing date was supposed to be February 29th. That's when they were supposed to be done, according to what he told me then. I don't know, what is he saying in this release here? But then
they didn't get the funds.
Then the last outfit they were going to get the money from was this crew that works with the NBA to fill in the gaps if they don't have enough money. But I think they've still only paid $400 million, right?
Correct.
And Glenn was going to keep 20%, but the way things were going, I don't think he intended to keep that much originally, but he was going to keep 20%. But yeah, I'd say that's breaking news.
Wow.
Unbelievable. But read that to me again.
Okay. Yeah. No, I mean, and by the way, Woj just retweeted it and said Glenn Taylor says the Timberwolves are no longer for sale. Here, I'll just pop this open again. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this just came into our inbox literally 2 minutes ago. So the press release says Glenn Taylor this morning confirmed the expiration of the option of Mark Laurie and Alex Rodriguez to acquire controlling interest of the Wolves and Lynx. Under terms of the purchase agreement, the closing was required to occur within 90 days following the exercise notice issued by Laurie and Rodriguez. That 90-day period expired on March 27th, 2024. Mm-hmm. Under certain circumstances, the buyer could have been entitled to a limited extension. However, those circumstances did not occur. Quote from Glenn, I will continue to work with Mark, Alex, and the rest of the ownership group to ensure that our teams have the necessary resources to compete at the highest levels on and off the court. The Timberwolves and Lynx are no longer for sale.
Well, he told me that the guy that just bought Phoenix for cash, right?
Yeah.
$3.5 million.
Yeah.
He said,
Ishbia, Matt Ishbia.
He said he could have made a deal with him, but he was going to move the team to Vegas, he told me. And that was his goal. So his idea with these guys was he thought he had some kind of a commitment to keep the team in Minnesota. But here's the deal. Laurie was out looking for this and Judd, weren't you talking to me about this $600 million, $700 million thing he was trying to raise money?
Yeah, that just happened.
New project. Did he raise that?
I thought he did.
He did. You're talking about Mark Lorre for Wondery.
I'm telling you that. I'm telling you this now that, you know, I wasn't. He wanted to. The day I was down there, he had Taylor on the phone trying to get $100 million out of him to invest in that second thing.
Really?
In this other deal. Yeah. And Glenn said, no, thank you.
What's called Wonder, by the way. It's
whatever it is. Yeah. And thanks for ruining my day, guys.
Hold on a second. It sounds like there's a lot of transcription to be done here. Well, I know a guy that transcribed the Sid book who his price costs a little bit more now, but he'd be happy to help out.
No, I got the ripper for $70 to do it. So
you cheap. $70.
The ripper thought I overpaid him, but I got all the notes upstairs. I was going to write it for April 14th.
Now you can write about how Glenn didn't sell the team.
Wow. Yeah. And, you know, this is the greatest thing that ever happened to him. Just if he wants to, you know, when he turns around and wants to sell it, he get $2.5 billion now instead of $1.5 billion.
But his problem is, I think at the end of the day, he's running into people that probably are not on board with not moving the team without assurances of a state. So, like, if I come here, you know, that's his problem. And
his problem is everybody wants an arena. Everybody wants an arena.
It's an arena. And they're not going to guarantee him that they're going to keep that team in that building in perpetuity. No, and I don't blame
them. The lease only costs $50 million to break. So,
right. You know, that's their issue.
So I'm just getting a couple.
Glenn's saying the team's staying in Minnesota, right?
Glenn's not owning them.
Yeah. No, God no.
Going to Mankato.
I got a note, by the way. I'm just kind of just trying to text with some people here that the other side of this, like the Lorre A-Rod side of this, is sort of shocked that Glenn pulled this lever. But at the same time, it's like you guys have had 2 years to put the funds together for a greatly discounted NBA team, by the way.
And several days ago, Johnny Kay and who's the guy, the big athletic
Shams.
They said that they'd gotten the money, right? Didn't they say they gotten the money?
The funding. They went and got another equity firm.
That was the equity firm that's worked with the NBA.
The NBA, right.
And by the way, we're going to get Doogie's on. Doogie's on the phone right now. We're going to do a scoop session here soon, but it sounds like they had a group that they were putting together and they had the funding, but the NBA has to approve. So is there a chance that there's a couple scenarios? Was it trending toward the NBA not approving the way that it was put together? Or, and I don't know if Glenn can do this, did Glenn look around after 2 years and say, what are we doing here? Why is it taking this long? And I can probably get another $500 million or more if I put this team back up for sale.
I'm sure there'll people try to make him the bad guy here, but the fact is that they were supposed to close on February 29th, and before that they were supposed to close last December, right? They already gave him 2 months. And the indication I got was the NBA was getting upset that they wanted, you know, let's see it, boys. You know, let's see. The NBA was getting upset then. Now, he did tell me he thought that they would run it out here for a while. So maybe, I don't know. Glenn's a good businessman.
But the two folks in town that talked to Glenn the most from our end of the business are Doogie and David Shama. And both of them have reported and wrote too that Lorre and A-Rod basically were avoiding Glenn. So I think Glenn got pissed off too because he would try and call them and get in and they weren't communicating back. So I think that causes a big problem. Not to mention the fact that did anyone ever think that Alex Rodriguez had the finances to really buy
professional sports franchise? But Mark Lorre was thought to have, at least if he didn't have the finances, have the connect. I mean, the guy, like Royce, he literally just raised a $700 million round for one of his startups.
You know what might have upset the Glenn in the NBA is he's raising $700 million for a startup.
Correct.
He's not coming up with the money on this deal. So, you know.
Yeah, but there's like, I mean, you could probably say the same thing about two-thirds of the owners in the NBA. They've a bunch of different projects and startups. And, you know.
The other thing about most of the owners is they come in and they don't have to.
Right.
They don't have to call up everybody in the country looking for money to help them on the deal.
The difference is now, if you can't come in and write a check, the leagues are very concerned about you.
Yeah.
I would guess so. But I don't know. He can, you know.
Well, here we go.
Yeah, it is. It gives us, we don't have to worry about building that new stadium, that new arena for a few years anyway, if Glenn holds the team.
The LOB, Patrick, will be handed to Glenn Taylor in late June. The Larry O'Brien Trophy, we now know. The guy that owns the Star Tribune will have that.
Well, I got to tell you this. I'm very prejudiced towards Glenn because he owns the Star Tribune. Because every day I look out the St. Paul paper and it's, think somebody left a pamphlet on my on my doorstep. So the independent ownership of the newspaper has been very good. So,
anyway. All right. Well, we'll digest this, Pat. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks for ruining my day.
It's You're welcome. Great.
You're welcome, Pat. All right, there he is. Royce Unchained, presented by Josh Arnold.